Good evening, everyone.
Welcome to have you in the church this evening. It's nice to see you. If you're here upstairs, if you're listening online, or if you're listening to the DVD later on, you're very welcome to our carol service tonight. If you're visiting with us for the first time, you're very welcome. If you're here on a regular basis, you're equally as welcome. We're looking forward to a real sense of the Lord and a blessing upon this gathering tonight. So wherever you come from, whatever, you're very welcome indeed. Just one or two little announcements. Right after our carol service this evening, we'll be moving over to the hall for some tea and refreshments. And we want to appreciate the catering team for providing for us. So you can give them a wee round of applause now, and then that's all done. And may I say that whenever you do go over to the hall and you have tea, make sure you say to some of those that are serving the tea, thank you for doing this for us. Won't you do that? Sometimes we're very selfish and we never think of what they have worked hard maybe today and even yesterday to make sure we have some refreshments. And then, of course, on Tuesday is our prayer meeting, and it'll be a prayer meeting only at 7:30 to 8:30. Please join with us as we meet together in the Lord's house as we bring the work of God before the throne. Then next Sunday is Christmas Day, and it's still the Lord's Day as well. Isn't that right? So it's the Lord's Day and it's Christmas Day. We're having the service an hour earlier. It'll be at 10 o'clock. But we'd love to see you here for our Christmas Day service and also the Lord's Day service. It'd be nice to have you in the house of God to welcome the Messiah, the King, who came amongst us. So it'll be good to have you with us next Sunday at 10 o'clock. And you mark that, and it'll be lovely to see you. Now, before we go any further, we've got quite a few people who are going to be reading the scriptures, and they're going to be involved, and we're going to be singing some of our favourite carols tonight. And so let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity of bowing together again in the house of God, coming together, Lord, to lift up our voices in praise and thanksgiving, and Lord, to sing these wonderful carols that mean so much, that are a blessing to the world. And Lord, at this season there are many multitudes right around the world singing these same carols. And so, God, we pray that we will lift the roof, as it were, lift our hearts, open our voices, and sing praises not only to the familiarity of the carol, but, Lord, of our joy and appreciation for God, who gave his Son, sent him in the light of the world, and came to lighten up the darkness that's in this world. And so, Father, thank you for that. Thank you for the opportunity. We appreciate so much all that you've done for us. We pray your blessing upon everyone that takes part, from the congregation, Lord, who lift up their voices in praise, with honest praise from their lips to God. For those who read the scriptures, some for the first time, some, Lord, who've done it before, we ask, Lord, that there be nothing familiar about anything that we read today, that it will become sort of, as it were, real and fresh again to us all this evening. Father, to Andrew, who brings your closing word, and Father, to the ministry of the band behind us, Lord, or in front of us, to the AV up in the upstairs, Lord, to those who pass out the DVDs and those who click in to listen at a later stage, those who are listening at home right now, we ask, God, that the blessing of God will fall upon each and every one. And as we leave this place this evening, as we share in fellowship with a cup of tea, as we talk and recount of the things and the blessings of God, may we say it was good for us to be here, for it's here that we met afresh with the Lord. In Christ's name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. Well, whenever the first announcement of Christmas, the Messiah came, the world was sitting in darkness. And it says in Isaiah, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. And first, the response to that great light was joy. Joy filling the clouds, the skies. Joy filling the hearts of the people. And we're going to stand and sing this first carol. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. That's where real joy is. It's found in him. We'll stand and sing together this first carol. Thank you.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come.
next song, and we're going to sing O Come Emmanuel. Maybe not one that we sing every Christmas, but we'll certainly sing it tonight, and let us remain seated this time. The awaited Messiah was long prophesied and long waited, and he finally came. And we look back over this last 2,000 years and we recount and rejoice and celebrate the fact that he came. Let's remain seated. We'll sing this one. Up those of you who sang that for the very first time. Well, me included. I'm glad there were so many verses I was able to learn it after the third verse. Did you notice me ad-libbing? Did you notice me mouthing without a voice, a sound coming out of my voice? Well, that's a really good carol and I enjoyed singing it. I enjoyed learning it anyway. Now, we're going to have two readers at this time. First of all, we're going to have David Bissett and then Hilary Davidson. So if both of you come forward, David first, and then Hilary, if you come together, if you come now as well, Hilary, and then Hilary's going to be reading right after Dave. Thank you very much.
If you have got your Bibles with you, the reading is in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through to 12. And while you're looking for the place, just when it comes to the sixth verse, I'll try and change a letter for a word. It says, "Shall come a governor." I will try, if I remember, to change it to, "and shall come the governor." When we're doing our quiet time at home, we use the Geneva Bible, and that is the quote that is used in the Geneva Bible. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thy Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come the governor that shall rule my people.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Thank you.
Hi, the reading is from Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen." Okay.
Well, thank you to David and Hilary. On that night whenever Christ was born, or that morn when he was born, it transformed the whole atmosphere, it transformed the whole night. How can one individual make such a change, such a transformation, that it be called a holy night? A night to remember. Of course, it wasn't because of the songs they were singing. It wasn't because of the heralding even of the angels. But it was of the one that came. And that's why we sing this next carol, which is very dear to us all. And it's worthy of a good thing. O Holy Night. And we'll stand and sing this one, please.
Oh, we are all invited to come and proclaim Him, and we're come to adore Him, or invited to come and worship Him. To do that, you have to lay down yourself and your own desires, your own ambitions, and you come before Him as a humble beggar in great need of His grace, His help in your life. And so the next hymn we're going to sing, Carol, we're going to remain seated, O Come All Ye Faithful.
To become, to be invited to come and worship Him, to lay down our own desires, our own ambitions, our own habits, our own desires, and worship Him. We have two more readers, and this time we're having Richie Collum and also Gina Annette, so we'll ask them both to come forward, and Richie is going to read first, and then Gina right after that. And again, Bethlehem is known as the house of bread. And of course, Jesus is the bread of life. And so that's what the Word of God is all about. Thank you, Richie.
We're reading from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labour bears a son, and the rest of us, his brothers, return to join the Israelites. he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. Amen.
And this reading is from Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out on the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the peoples. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they have seen, which was and for what they have just been told.
Thank you again to both Richie and Gina. Our next carol re-echoes those readings that we're going to sing just now. They echo that invitation and that great announcement that the angels announced the coming of the Messiah, the first Noel. And we'll get you to stand and sing together, please, this next one. And then we're going to hand over to Andrew, who's going to bring the message to us. Thank you. Thank you.
evening. Thanks to the pastor, the praise team, the readers, all so far before me this evening. Hopefully PowerPoint works as well. Thanks to the AV guys for tonight. And if it comes up, it might not, but the title for a message this evening is "The King is Born." This is a phrase that has already come up in pretty much every carol and in every reading that we have sung and heard tonight. The King is Born. Just during this week, I had a conversation with someone else while a couple of kids were playing. One of them was my own. Ended up concluding, every small child likes to think of themselves as king or queen within their own life. Now, it happened to be that the kids both wanted the same toy at the same time, and both wanted it at exactly that moment. And so what happens is, not only do children know what they want it exactly in the moment that they think. And so oftentimes we have this. We have the same toy, and of course one kid's not playing with it, but as soon as they see somebody else, that becomes the only thing that will make them happy. That becomes the sole desire of their heart, and of course then you've got that conflict where one of them is not going to have their demands met. They have to be king or queen of the castle. This characteristic that from no age humanity, people, you and I, start to show. And if you look closely enough, sometimes for those who don't get their demands met, who don't have everybody bow to their will, if you look closely enough, sometimes you can just about see the steam coming out of their ears whenever they realize that they don't get their own way. Yeah, I see some wry smiles there. I think some of you might be thinking, that's not just kids, you know, that sounds a wee bit like my spouse. Now, I'm not going to weigh in on that, but I'm going to give you a bit of free advice. If you don't want coal in your stocking next Sunday, just keep that thought to yourself. Because it's true, it's not just a characteristic that comes from children. It's something that can show and does show in adults as well. You see, as we will get into reading Luke chapter 1, as I've mentioned, we all, from a very young age, have this characteristic within us. This inward self-given right to rule as our own master, to get our own way, to have the freedom to have, to think, to do as we want. If we picture it this way, each of us has a throne in our heart, and we want to be the one sitting on it. Each of us has a throne in our own heart, and we want to be the king or queen who rules with the final authority over our own lives. If you're wondering, what's he talking about this for in a carol service? I'm here to think about the baby in the manger and the shepherds and the angels and that. What's that got to do with this? Well, as I've said, this is actually a theme that is in every carol and that has been in each of the readings. There is a connection. And so we are going to have one more reading, which is Luke chapter 1, reading from verse 26. And as usual, I'll have to put these on, because it's not that the words are too small, it's that I can't see the numbers on the verses, so I don't know where to come in. So we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 1, verse 26, just through to verse 33. This was read very well this morning by my nephew Jacob. And maybe as well, Stephen thought he was going to get away with it, but it is Stephen and it's birthday today as well. And so we do wish him a happy birthday for today. But if you've had a chance to flick up to Luke chapter 1, reading from verse 26, this is God's word. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Amen. We'll finish the reading of God's word at verse 33. And may God bless the public reading of his word. Did you pick up what was revealed there in verse 32 and 33? He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. You see, as I've said, tonight so many carols and so many of the scripture passages that talk about the birth of Christ Jesus all frame him, proclaim him, reveal him to be the king. Here, in that moment, the king was born. The identity of this baby, who is to be named Jesus, and just as a reminder, Jesus, that name means the Lord is salvation. So the identity of this baby, his identity is that he will rise to the throne. God will give him the throne. It will be an eternal throne, for his kingdom will never end. An author that I really like called Paul Tripp gave this quote. You can hopefully see it on screen. The baby in the manger came as a conquering king to dethrone us and then enthrone himself in our hearts and lives forever and ever. The baby in the manger came as a conquering king to dethrone us and then enthrone himself in our hearts and lives forever and ever. And so two very simple thoughts for us this evening. Why should we be dethroned? And why King Jesus should be welcomed? Two simple thoughts. Let's look at the first one together. Why should we be dethroned? To many it sounds insulting to surrender control of your life. To many it sounds like tyranny to have someone else rule over you. There's a common phrase, common thought, isn't there? Nobody else is in charge of my life but me. I'll do things my way. I'll do what I want. If I said that as a 30-something-year-old, not many would probably have issue with it, because it's how most adults or all adults think. It's commonplace to think, well, my life is my own and I'm in control. But yet, what about if my son Benjamin, who's not even yet 2 years old, what if he said that? Well, for a start, we'd probably be shocked at his genius and intelligence and vocabulary to say that already. But once we got over the shock, we would have to correct him. I would have to correct him and say, sorry, but you're not. I would have to disagree with him that he gets to do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. Because we understand that kids can't do whatever they want whenever they want. We understand that they don't have enough maturity, enough knowledge to know what they should or shouldn't do. Which means if a 2-year-old, say, was in charge of their own life, they probably would be watching Paw Patrol 24 hours a day. They definitely would not be eating their vegetables. They definitely would disagree about when bedtime is. They don't have the understanding enough to know about a healthy diet, about the things that they need to eat to grow. They don't understand that watching TV all day is bad for them. They don't understand that even though they still want to run around and play, they do need to go to bed and sleep. They rely on their parents or on their guardians to guide them and, in fact, to make those decisions for them. Now, Benjamin, he's one who already wants to be king of his castle. And there's lots of times that Claire and I have to overrule him. There's lots of times where he has to do something that he doesn't want to do when he doesn't want to do it. And so it is this pattern that we've said that we as a society, we understand. Because there are plenty of things that we don't allow legally children to do. You must be a certain age to drive a car, to vote, to smoke, to have sex. There's legal parameters that are in place where we recognize children don't have the maturity to make these decisions or to do these actions because they all have consequences. They don't have that ability to take the responsibility that we reserve for adulthood. And so children need to be raised by people who know better and who are supposed to care for them. Is it degrading for a child not to have that freedom? Is it a negative thing for a child not to be able to do whatever they want anytime they want to do it? I don't think anybody here would argue with that. I don't think anybody here would say that it's that child's loss of freedom is some big evil. Instead, we recognize it as a good thing when parenting is done right. And so parenthood is one of those major changes in life that shows just how much we love to rule from our own throne. I experienced that. There's so much in your life that all of a sudden, whenever you've got this small person depending on you, and in fact, everything in your world is turned upside down because you have to devote yourself to what they need. You have to devote yourself that no matter what time of the night it is, you need to get up and help when help is needed. You need to devote yourself to not what your own agenda is, but instead to caring for and raising and keeping safe and protecting the small child that is under your care. Mary and Joseph would find this out for themselves as well. But a loving parent will, in a lot of cases, try to do whatever is needed for the best of their child. No matter how tired they are, no matter what time it is, no matter the loss of freedom that they experience, and no matter, I believe any parent that you would ask, on the whole, who's in a good frame of mind, if you ask them, you know, well, you've lost freedom, you can't go out for dinner just any time you want like that, you can't have a lie-in, would you change it? And parents would say no. Wouldn't change it for the world. That loss of freedom, they would happily give up for the love of their child. And so come with me on this train of thought. So what if even the smartest and best human isn't able to handle the authority that comes from trying to sit on the throne of your heart? The most intelligent, the most mature, the most wise human. What if we weren't designed to be able to handle being king or queen of your own life? What if mankind is more like the 2-year-old in the illustration rather than the parent? What if God is the only one who is able to sit on the throne and rule perfectly for the best of each person? What if God is to be the Father in heaven who loves us more than we could dream, who knows that death and destruction is what comes when humans sit on this throne of our heart trying to rule with authority, trying to reign? What if God knows that in fact power corrupts us even further? As a human, I have to acknowledge, I don't know everything. I will make mistakes as a father. I won't always know what's best. I won't always be able to protect my son. At times, I will know the right thing to do or say, but because of my sin nature, I might not do it out of frustration, or out of anger, or out of indignation because he won't do what I've told him to do. The truth is that nobody on this planet has had a perfect experience of somebody ruling over them. Power and authority are an integral part in society's functioning with order and structure. Yet authority can so often be misused and abused. People can be damaged and destroyed by those who are supposed to be looking out for them or ruling over them. Power oftentimes brings corruption. And I think maybe that's why people can be so hesitant when we talk about yielding to God, surrendering all to God, giving our life to God, because you're comparing it perhaps to an earthly experience where somebody in authority over you, somebody, perhaps parents, whoever, has hurt or harmed or destroyed. They haven't been perfect in their use of authority over you. And so we can sometimes project that and think, well, why would I want to give my life to God? We mistakenly think that we can't trust God to do a better job than those experiences. We mistakenly think that God is some major ego on a power trip to be a dictator. Both of those counts are so untrue. In the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve, by the way, who were the most intelligent, who were mature, who were perfect in the sense that they did not have the sin nature, as adults and as innocent adults, they both decided to reject God's one and only rule. Don't eat from the fruit of that one tree. That was God's one rule to them. And as they weighed this up, and as the devil told them the lie that they could disobey that and be like God, so they bought into this lie that said you could self-rule. You could be the king or queen in your life. They bought into the promise that they might do better, that God might have been holding out on them, that actually disobedience to God would be good for them. That was the lie that they bought into, that self-rule would be better for them than God's rule. And so they tried to put themselves onto the throne of their heart. And humanity has been broken ever since that moment. It is not an injustice or a travesty for you or I to be dethroned. It's a mercy. It's an impossible weight lifted from us that the devil would want to have us believe, oh, it's an act of evil for God to try to dethrone you. But in fact, it's an act of sheer goodness that God would do that. Because it's really a figment of imagination. Anyway, God is ruler over all. He has not ever given up his authority as the King of Kings. But in fact, we have tricked ourselves as humanity into thinking that we have that authority. But in the face here of the birth of the Lord Jesus, we see the conquering King, the one alone who is worthy to rule from that throne. It is good news that this baby was born to be a conquering king and to dethrone us. Good news. Good news that takes us into our final point. Why King Jesus should be welcomed. Why King Jesus should be welcomed. And so it's good news that Jesus will take the throne. Because nobody in the universe can handle total power without being corrupted except God. Nobody in the universe is as gracious and as merciful and as loving as God. Nobody in the universe except God knows everything, always does the right thing, punishes injustice perfectly, and works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He is the only one who can truly heal. He is the only one who can conquer eternal death and bring light and life, raising the dead forevermore. He's the one that the angels of heaven continuously sing praise and worship to. He is the only one worthy of this throne. He is the only one able to rule in goodness and mercy and justice and power and all knowledge and all might. He is the one worthy. There's a danger every Christmas time when we think about this baby in a manger, that in the meekness and the mildness of Bethlehem, that we really miss the message. Because there's nothing threatening about a baby. In some ways, newborn babies are the absolute picture of weakness and of vulnerability. And that's why the birth of Jesus doesn't ruffle everybody's feathers. Because they don't think that there's a threat to their self-rule. In fact, this same aspect of the kingship of Jesus was central to his execution, to his death. It was central to the crowds chanting and mocking him for his claim to be king. If you are the king of the Jews, then save yourself. They dressed him as a king, and they beat him to within an inch of his life before they completed the execution, all the while mocking him for his claim to be king. as Pilate interrogated Jesus about being king, Jesus' response was this: "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." You'll find that in John 18. It matters more than you would ever guess that this baby born in Bethlehem would be the conquering king. His mission was not to overthrow the Roman Empire and to raise up the nation of Israel, although one day he will establish a kingdom in physicality. But for now, it's about the throne in your heart and mine. It's about a spiritual realm. And as we begin to close this thought this evening, let's remember that message from our reading tonight in Luke 1. God will give him the throne, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Remember, the baby in the manger came as a conquering king to dethrone us and then enthrone himself in our hearts and lives forever and ever. For those who have understood this great news, our hearts rejoice in praise, because we recognize and we can see clearly that Jesus alone is worthy of this throne, and that he is the good king. He is not the tyrant that the world would want to paint him the picture of. This call to give your life to him is not bad for you, it's best for you. Our hearts are thankful that that crushing burden, when we thought that we were to be the final authority within our life, that we thought trying to play at being kings and queens in our lives, has been removed from us as mere mortals. And Jesus, God the Son, the Eternal One, the King, that he instead came to dethrone us, to enthrone himself, to rule in majesty, in goodness, and in power. For those who still think that this news is a dangerous threat to you, that this is something to avoid, this is a threat to your freedom, and for those who might even yet refuse to submit and acknowledge that Jesus is King, well, to you, he allows you to continue to hold that position in this lifetime. He allows you to continue to believe that if you want. But the Bible warns, though, that after this life draws to a close, Philippians tells us, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He allows you to hold to your illusion of authority and freedom. He allows you to hold to your belief to reject him in this life. But he encourages you. In fact, he commands you. In this life, come and find the goodness and the real freedom that comes from knowing Christ as King. The warning from Philippians is that if that in the afterlife, if that is when you bow to him, he will give you your wish for the rest of eternity, in that you will be removed from his kingdom of blessing, from the kingdom of his presence, and be cast out of his presence forever. Yet the good news about the coming of Christ, the good news this Christmas, is that here again is an opportunity to receive the King, to come to the King, to acknowledge the King, to be saved by the King, and to know his perfect reign forever and ever. Let's pause for a moment in prayer as we seek to reflect, as we seek perhaps for some to respond in praise, and to give opportunity for some perhaps to respond to the King for the first time. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great, amazing, wonderful good news of the coming of the King. as the wise men came and bowed before him in worship, as they came and said, "Where has the King of the Jews been born?" So, Father, for each heart gathered here before you tonight, we recognize, Lord, that there is a throne in each heart. And you know, Lord, who thinks they're sitting on it. You know, Father, who has stepped off that throne and recognized Christ alone is the King. Help us, Father, where each of us is at, to respond to the truth, to the purpose of your birth, to the purpose of your coming, and to know the joy that comes from bowing before the King. In his wonderful name we ask. Amen. Amen.
Many thanks, Andrew. I trust that as you've listened to God's word, you've asked yourself the question, well, who's reigning and ruling in my heart? If you're ruling, you're ruining. If he's ruling, then he's reigning, and you'll be rejoicing in eternity. We're going to sing our final song, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King." If you're wondering when we're going to be again in the church, remember, next Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's also Christmas Day, 10 o'clock. And then this day week is also New Year's Day, and we have communion in the morning, but we're also having a praise service in the evening. And there are several people from the congregation. It's going to be a homebrew, and they're going to be taking part in singing. And so we're looking forward to that. And that's in the evening. It's a praise service in the evening. So just keep that in your mind, to put it in your calendar, plan to be here. We're going to stand and sing now for this moment. "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." Remember that you are invited over for tea and some refreshments after the service. Please make your way over there and have fellowship together, and let's enjoy the rest of the evening in God's presence. Now, Father, thank you for what we've heard.
Lord, you've reminded us again that whenever we are in control, we ruin our lives. Lord, and the world and the way it is a testimony to that fact. And Lord, whenever you are in control, whenever you reign, Lord, many's a soul's life has been turned right around. When they've listened and followed that great guide, the Holy Spirit, in their lives, and you begin to enable them to make right choices, choices that please God, and choices that elevate Christ in their lives. Father, in these moments we pray that you will give that grace in every heart to recognize with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. Bless your word to every heart. Accept of our thanks for this opportunity, heaven reaching down again to each one of us. By your Holy Spirit, urging each one to make that wise choice. Dethrone self, enthrone Christ. And accept of our thanks for the food that's provided, for the fellowship we'll enjoy, for the hands that have prepared it, and the blessing of fellowship one with another. And to you will ascribe all glory, honour and praise. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. May God bless you as you travel over home or as you go to the hall. We'll see you there. Thank you.